FAR.org and tip this show. That's for Planetary Landscapes. Non-Human Radio is coming up, and we're made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local, seasonal, and organic delights at Farmstar Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farmstar features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts, and they have vegan and gluten-free offerings, as well as craft beer and eclectic wines. Farmstar Pizza is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, with live music every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening. They're located at 2359 The Esplanade, and you can also find Farmstar Pizza on Facebook and at farmstarpizza.com. And we're made possible by Michael Schuel, clinical psychologist, offering psychotherapy for adults and play therapy for children. Dr. Schuel helps people find meaning and depth in their lives and deal with issues including depression, anxiety, and trauma. Dr. Schuel also works with young children as young as 5. Located in Chico, Dr. Schuel can be reached at 530-891-6292. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. All right, and welcome to the September 26th, 2018 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. With me, as usual, is my co-host Danny Toms. Please, Danny, give the listeners a summary of what they'll be hearing in the next half hour.
Today, we'll be talking about a vegan-friendly school district in Southern California, how updated nutritional guidelines in Canada have cattle ranchers and dairy farmers upset, and we'll end with some talk about a suggested revision to the definition of veganism. Take it away, Jeannie.
All right. Thank you very much, Danny. I have to get my acting gear today. Starting this month, California's Santa Barbara Unified School District will no longer serve processed meats, such as bacon, deli meat, pepperoni, and hot dogs. The district is the first known school district to ban processed meats, according to the medical group Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Though it will continue to serve unprocessed meats, the district has been promoting plant-based options to its students with the result that 50% of the 2 million meals it serves each year are vegan. The district offers a range of vegan alternatives as part of an ongoing effort to serve students healthier, more sustainable foods. A key component of the shift is Hungry Planet, a family-owned company that makes plant-based meat alternatives. Weiss, who's the food services director for the Unified School District, was introduced to the company by its co-founder, Jody Boyman, who has 2 high school kids in the Santa Barbara School District. In 2017, the district and Hungry Planet partnered up for Earth Day to serve 100% vegan meatball subs, chicken chili verde burritos, and double cheeseburgers from the Hungry Planet food truck. Sales tripled over previous years, and they sold out on both days of the Earth Day weekend. Taking that as a sign, the district began offering vegan meals for kids at the school cafeterias on a call-ahead basis.
Yum. I mean, if you think about it, kids are pretty wise these days, and even back when we were in high school, I think, you know, you knew you can't just eat a meatball sandwich every day, and it's just not good for you. But, you know, having a healthier option might let you eat a few more meatball sandwiches, you know? I mean, so taste always often wins out in some of these cases.
I could eat a meatball marinara sandwich every day.
Yeah, a vegan one.
A vegan one, oh yeah.
I mean, you'd feel kind of sick if you ate a real meatball one every couple days in a row.
I'll give you that, yeah. Anyway, so then Nancy Weiss, who's the food director for the district, realized that she wanted everyone to be able to experience the Hungry Planet vegan food, and she decided that the district cafeterias would come up with a bunch of kid-friendly vegan menu ideas and roll them out quietly. That started in January of 2018, and now 50% of the meals served at Santa Barbara's Unified Schools are vegan. Hungry Planet options include soy riso quesadillas, crispy chicken burgers, spaghetti and meatballs, beef nachos, and chicken Alfredo. All of those are vegan or vegetarian. The school often runs out of the Hungry Planet option that they have. Hungry Planet foods are a good tool for that shift because they're developed to look and taste like real meats. Brother-sister co-founders Todd and Jody Boyman spent more than a decade researching and developing their products before launching their coast-to-coast pilot project in 2017. This is a fairly new company. Co-founder Todd Boyman told the Santa Barbara Independent newspaper, quote, "Our vision started when the data started becoming more clear about what was causing some of the fundamental environmental and public health challenges on the planet. It's pretty clear that the root cause has to do with food choices that we make. You can't solve that problem without addressing our whole food system." And, you know, I've been thinking about our food system quite a bit and reading and talking about the cruelty that's inherent to it. You know, we hear about all these millions of chickens that died with Hurricane Florence, all the tens of thousands of pigs that died because they weren't released from their pens. There was no place to set them to go.
And how that's legal.
And how it's legal and how they'll probably get government emergency aid to help, you know, remove those bodies and take care of them. And it's like there's so much pain and cruelty inherent in that system that if you take a stand against that cruelty, the whole system has to fail.
Mm-hmm.
The whole system has to break apart. So I think that the idea that you can't solve this problem without addressing our whole food system is on the money. They're looking at it more from a health and environmental issue and not so much an animal rights issue, but all these attacks on the system are its undoing, ultimately. So, the Hungry Planet family believes beef production is extremely unsustainable. This is going to blow your mind.
I don't think this is a belief. This is, dare I say, facts.
There you go. Okay. It takes 24 calories of plant protein to make 1 calorie of beef protein. So, what family would set out 24 plates of food and then throw away 23 plates and only eat one, right? No one would do that. But in fact, that's what we do every time we eat beef. Hungry Planet's vegan options are now being... So anyway, let's just stop and pause about that, right? So we are producing an awful lot of calories for animals, right? I mean, a lot of farmers are growing soy and corn to be fed only to animals.
The massive amounts of soy grown in the Midwest is the majority going to feed beef cattle. It's not being eaten.
Right. And there's a portion of their lives where most cattle are on the range, so to speak, and eating grass, which humans can't eat. But then they are transferred to feedlots where they are fed specifically food that other farmers are growing for them. So you look at this this percentage, right? 23 calories of plant material to produce 1 calorie of animal meal. And it's just, there are better ways that our energy should be flowing in our food economy and in our environment. All right, so let's carry on. Hungry Planet's vegan options are now being served by a variety of kitchens across Santa Barbara, not just in the school district, but at white tablecloth fancy restaurants and casual eateries and also other school campuses. For instance, at UC Santa Barbara, the daily vegan soup offering often features Hungry Planet Italian sausage. Todd Boyson, one of the co-founders of Hungry Planet, goes on to conclude that, quote, "Not a week goes by that we don't get a call from a university saying, how can we get our hands on your food because our students are demanding it? There's an enormous cohort of individuals who at least want to eat healthier on occasion," end quote. And so that's another element of what's going on here, right? I think it may or may not be true that more people are going vegan, but it's definitely true that more people are eating less meat, that they're choosing... these more plant-based options because they taste good, they're price equivalent, and why not?
Right. I think I have a couple of other things to unpack here and point out that Santa Barbara is a very wealthy community. I once dropped out of UC Santa Barbara. So there's quite a bit of money going on down there. On the other hand, also in making changes to how school districts serve food, you have to have leadership from the top, and you have to have that person be on board. So in this case, it was the leader.
That's pretty clear.
Who wanted to do it. And secondly, it still has to be done in such a way that, you know, one school district, school districts have central kitchens where food is prepared and then it's delivered in hot packs and things to all the different schools. They don't have kitchens per se. They just serve up pre-made food.
Reheating centers.
Yeah. And so you have to have those employees have to be on your side. And famously, Jamie Oliver went to the Midwest several years ago and tried to change how some schools made food. Yeah. And he was sort of insisting everything's got to be made from scratch and all this stuff. That's like, these people were just like, are you kidding me? We don't have time for that. We don't have a kitchen for that. We can't wash those things. So, the leadership here and that person being able to do it, being able to get her organization to do it, and this Hungry Planet company is probably producing ready-to-eat meals that can then just be distributed within that system. And so there's a couple of things that have to align to make that kind of experiment be so successful.
Oh, yeah. I think it's pretty key that if the food services director hadn't been on board, none of this would have happened.
Right. And look at the meals that they targeted. You know, they were meatball sandwiches and enchilada. It wasn't enchilada, but something like that. They weren't trying to tell them you have to, you know, make quinoa with
kale
and garden vegetables. So
exactly.
It was still comfort food that can be pre-prepared, reheated, and taste yummy, but be kind of healthier. So
it may not be that the mass palates are ready for kale and quinoa.
Right. And little kids won't eat it, you know.
Yeah. Even if it's seasoned well, it's still.
Right.
All right. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. Your co-hosts are Jeannie Trezina, myself, and Danny Toms. And I just want to give a shout-out here. Sue Hildebrand, Chico State professor, radio host, and filmmaker, is launching her film American Totem. American Totem is an unbiased film that looks at gun ownership in the United States. She's now in her final push to bring this enlightening film to the viewing public, and Sue Hildebrand and her team need $25,000 to complete this multi-year project. You can donate to this project by going to seedandspark.com/fund/American Totem. If you're unable to donate, you can still help this project by going to the website and follow the campaign. If 1,000 people follow this campaign, you enable the team to qualify for an interest-free loan. So please join the movement, and we greatly appreciate your support for this important film. All right. Over to you, Danny. What's our second story?
All right. Veg News reports that Phase 2 of Canada's food guide is putting increasing emphasis on plant-based foods in what will be their first update to the dietary guidelines since 2007. A public consultation report released earlier this year, which focused on feedback received from over 6,000 individuals through online discussion forums, revealed that some felt more could be done to emphasize the importance of consuming plant-based foods. Canada's latest draft of the guidelines includes the statement that, quote, regular intake of vegetables, fruit, whole grains, and protein-rich foods, especially plant-based sources of protein, end quote, is now listed as its first guiding principle. Meat and dairy are not absent from the guidelines, but plant-based sources of nutrition are emphasized more than in previous guidelines due to Health Canada's concern with Canadians' cardiac health, where 2 in 5 adults in the country report having ailments such as heart disease or diabetes. Further information regarding Canada's new food guide is expected to be released next year in 2019. As you might imagine, beef and dairy producers are opposed to these proposed revisions, including the front of the label packaging, or the front of packaging labeling, however you want to put your label on. The Canadian Cattlemen's Association is not happy about this, and it questions the emphasis on eating plant-based proteins as opposed to animal-based proteins. The group is also concerned that proposed, quote, front of package labels could mandate warning labels on foods high in saturated fats, sodium, and sugar. Like that's a bad thing. While the Canadian Cattlemen's Association expects that whole cuts of beef and other meats will be exempt from this labeling because they are a single-ingredient food, ground meat is not considered a single ingredient and could require a nutrition facts panel and a warning on the label. And it's not considered a single ingredient because it's not a single ingredient. There's all kinds of stuff ground up in there. So unsurprisingly, the Canadian Cattlemen's Association is also not in favor of a proposal to bring sustainable environmental food choices into the food guide, telling the press that it is not that environmental impacts are not important. Absolutely, it is important. But the food guide and nutrition of what we should be eating or not eating is so complex. Bringing in one other complexity will mislead people into making bad food choices and sacrifice the nutrition they should be getting.
Can you imagine?
This is called whataboutism. This is what lots of politicians are doing these days.
So I looked up, as an example for this front of package labeling, what they're trying to avoid, right? A 3-ounce cooked beef hamburger patty. The front of that label would show that it has about 209 calories. It has zero carbs. It has 122 calories from fat. So over half is from fat. And about 87 calories from protein. And the total fat would be 13.5 grams. This is in a... I didn't do my grams. It's in, so in a 3-ounce patty, it's 13.5 grams of fat, of which... 5 grams of that is saturated fat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're trying to avoid having on the front of the label, because you should walk away from high amounts of saturated fat. They do your heart no good and are positively correlated with high cholesterol.
Indeed.
All right.
Let's see. The association has sent letters to the provinces and Health Canada asking the government to formulate a guide that supports a balanced diet with adequate amounts of animal protein. It also said dairy products should continue to have their own category rather than being included in the protein category, which basically...
How about it have no category?
Yeah, I mean, it's a separate kind of food that has to be recommended. I mean, it's a bit silly. Dairy Farmers of Canada has also approached the government in a written statement to the Committee on Health. The organization said the new health strategy could encourage underconsumption of milk products. The reason for the concern is that there is scientific evidence showing consumption of milk products is associated with a reduced risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and colorectal cancer. Like the Canadian Cattlemen's Association, Canadian farmers are concerned that parents might offer their children plant-based products that do not meet their daily requirements. Further information is expected to be released in 2019. So, yeah, I mean, it's the common tactic of despicable people to hide the truth, basically. They don't fight that. They don't deny the truth. They just say, well, we shouldn't show it. It would make us look bad if people knew how bad we were, you know?
I think you're right on that. And I think that it bodes well that the Canadian food guideline process asks for and respects community opinions, right? Those 6,000 opinions, those were basically concerned citizens as well as some nonprofit groups. So it's good to know that the Cattlemen's Association doesn't have a chokehold on those guidelines, at least not at this point. We'll
right.
see.
I'm
see what
sure
happens.
That the Cattlemen's Association probably suggests that only the Cattlemen's Association should be polled on the nutrition value. So, yeah.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, co-hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms. If you want to follow more current events and animal rights-related news, I invite you to follow the Non-Human Radio Facebook page, where we share current news events related to animals, as well as local food events, local events related to food. All right. On to our last story. The plant-based news website reported on some prominent animal rights activists who are calling for a new definition of veganism. Animal Liberation Front founder Ronnie Lee, along with animal activist Tony Harris, created a new definition that includes a moral imperative to educate others about animal exploitation. So right now, the current definition of veganism set out by the UK-based Vegan Society, which is where the term originated in Britain, says simply, quote, "Veganism is a way of living which seeks to exclude, as far as possible and practicable, all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, or any other purpose." Right? So it's basically, we want to avoid being part of this exploitation. The definition created by Ronnie Lee and Tony Harris
It goes further, saying, veganism is a way of living that seeks to exclude all forms of exploitation of non-human animals, which extends beyond dietary considerations to the avoidance of all forms of animal abuse, including harm to their natural habitats.
So far, so good.
So it builds in environmentalism, right? Yeah. A care for the environment that non-human animals and all animals live in. It goes on then, it includes a moral duty to actively oppose all forms of animal exploitation and to encourage and educate others to become vegan, with the core aim being the eradication of speciesism. And speciesism is basically valuing the human species over another species for no rational basis, right? And we could have Robert Jones on to talk about the foundations of speciesism. He's the animal rights philosopher who helped co-found this show many years ago. So, yeah. So this expands veganism to include concern for the environment explicitly, and also to take an active hand in helping change human society for the benefit of non-human animals.
And that's where it gets a little tricky.
Yeah. Leave gave this talk on this revised definition of veganism at a vegan festival in the United Kingdom this summer, and the definition has caused ripples in the vegan community. Some people feel the definition could be too exclusive. For instance, an attendee at the festival told Plant-Based News that telling people that they had to be activists could put them off. The attendee, who is a longtime vegan, told Plant-Based News that while she had attended many protests, she might have felt intimidated if that had been expected of her from day one. She went on to say that it's not always possible to be an activist because of financial, health, transportation, or other reasons, and that the definition of activism itself can be variable as well. A spokesperson for the Vegan Society told Plant-Based News, quote, that the founding members of the Vegan Society coined the word vegan back in 1944 and agreed on its definition. The core meaning of veganism has remained the same for the last 74 years, and we have no plans to change the definition, as we feel it perfectly reflects what a vegan lifestyle is about. And then she went on to say, if we restrict the meaning of the word too much, we run into the danger of excluding thousands of people from being able to use it, which would in turn make them unable to inspire others to adopt what they may now perceive as difficult to attain. It does add an extra hurdle, right? This call to action.
Yeah, I mean, you and I both know, and maybe our listeners don't know, there's many a inter-Nassene or intergroup fighting amongst vegans about who's more vegan than you. And I suppose you see the same thing in churches, like who's a better Christian, right? And it gets pretty brutal in vegan circles about, and it gets around the definition of what does the word vegan mean? And if somebody thinks you're not vegan, they will definitely, and you say you are, they will jump on you for saying you can't say you're vegan. You eat honey. And then if you start extrapolating that to, well, you can't call yourself vegan, you drive a car, and that's bad for the environment. And it promotes a lot of conflict and jerks. The consideration of the environment that they're adding to this is good, but it's also something that almost happens naturally. If you're vegan for ethical reasons, you'll investigate foods and be like, great, I can eat this stuff, and it's full of palm oil. And then you discover, well, where does palm oil come from? It comes from a rainforest, and they slash and burn the rainforest, and all the orangutans die. And so you might pick, okay, I'm going to try to avoid consuming that. You become a much more aware ethical consumer of everything you consume, and you start thinking about not its price at Walmart, but its supply chain and what happens there.
I think once you start thinking about suffering in the world,
right,
non-human animal suffering in particular, you do start paying attention, and you do start including this bigger picture view of your choices.
Yeah. And then the second point saying, you basically have to go forth and knock on doors and say, have you heard the good news? You should go vegan. That's not for everybody. That's tough. Not everybody's an extrovert. Not everybody has time. Not everybody has money to donate to these things. I'd say you are promoting veganism by being vegan and telling people you're vegan. That's promoting it. And maybe you want to be vegan and you don't want to tell people you're vegan because you can't handle the conflict. It's telling you you're a bad vegan because of that is not a good message. And so I can understand why the founders of ALF would propose this message, because, you know, they're out on the forefront of doing liberating animals. It's pretty hardcore. But to kind of give a talk on this, I mean, you could give a talk and say, you guys should all consider this, saying we're going to redefine veganism for all of you, is obviously probably designed to stir up some controversy. And, you know, I don't think it's particularly wise.
And I think it goes back to what I mentioned earlier, is that the reduction, the food choices that more people are making is to leave meat off their plate, even if they're not going vegan. And so I think in that context, there's less harm to animals being done just by people having better choices to make and not caring so much that it's protein from an animal versus protein from...
Right. And if you shame those people and attack those people, nothing good comes of it. It's, you know, how do you feel when you go to the dentist and you're like, they're like, so, how's your flossing? And you're like, well, you know, I'm flossing every other day now. And they're like, well, you need to floss after every meal 3 times a day. And you're like, oh, man, you know.
Yeah, so either you're going to be honest with your dentist and say, I don't floss, or you're going to feel shame and you're just going to lie about it.
Right.
Which doesn't do your gums any favors.
Right.
So
interesting. All right. Where are we at? Is it time for the...
It is that time.
It's that time for the Chico Animal Rights calendar of events. What do you have for us?
All right. We have some great vegan-friendly events to put on your calendar, and if you need more information on any of the events that I'm talking about, please send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com or contact me through the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. September 27th, that's tomorrow, we have the Plant-Based Chico Monthly Meeting hosted by Plant-Based Chico. Plant-Based Chico will be meeting on Thursday, September 27th, 2018, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Chico Guild Hall at 2775 Nord Avenue. Because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the group will be showing a presentation titled Breast Cancer Prevention and Plant-Based Nutrition, which is a presentation by Dr. Delia Garcia, who is a preventative medicine physician based in University City, Missouri. So this is a recorded presentation. Dr. Garcia, interestingly, did her residency in radiation oncology, and so she offers a unique perspective on breast cancer. The recorded presentation will cover mammograms, early detection, and nutrition, and its role in breast cancer prevention, and will be followed by a Q&A session. The free event is open to the public, and for more information, please check out and join the Plant-Based Chico Facebook group, which is organized by Nancy Norby Matthews, the indefatigable Whole Foods plant-based coach in Chico. September 29th, that is this Saturday, it's the time to find veg love. There will be a veg speed date event going on in Sacramento at Oblivion Comics and Coffee. That's on Saturday, September 29th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., and they're going to be throwing this event for veg singles ages 21 and above, and the pairing format will be male-female speed dating. Apparently, if you don't make a dating or friendship match on your first try, you get to come back to another event at half price. So for more information, you can go to the website findveglove.com. And that's in Sacramento on Saturday, September 29th. October 6th in Chico, Blackbird Books and Gallery will be celebrating its one-year anniversary. Tacos Borrego will be serving up vegan street tacos, and Near and Dear Vegan Baked Goods will be doing its usual baking magic. Plus, there will be a vegan brunch in the morning and a vegan lunch in the afternoon, and there will be live music from several local groups. And for more information, please follow Blackbird Books on Facebook or Instagram, and they're located at 1431 Park Avenue, and that will be Saturday, October 6th. Also October 6th in Davis. I'm just going to mention this because it's a premiere of a food item that you won't be able to get until the end of October. You can enjoy Beyond Sausage Brats at the annual Sunrise Rotary Oktoberfest Barbecue in Davis, California. That's going from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Central Park in Davis. Cool Cuisine of Davis, which is a vegan environmental group in Davis, will host a separate plant-based grill
and serve up Beyond Sausage, which will not be available in Northern California until the end of October. So if you attend this event, you'll be among the first to try it out. Tickets are available at eventbrite.com, or you can find Cool Cuisine Davis Facebook page. October 6th is a very busy day in the North State for animal-related stuff. Animal Place is hosting a sunset stroll. Join Animal Place for a special evening tour at their Grass Valley Sanctuary, where you can attend a guided tour and meet the cows, sheep, rabbits, chickens, and pigs that are residents there. As a special offer, you can ride out with staff to where the to where one of the cow herds are grazing to help count them and tuck them in for the night. Tickets are available at animalplace.org, and this is an event that is on Saturday, October 6th, 4 to 6:30 p.m. at Animal Place. So more information at animalplace.org. Now, October 13th, Animal Place is also hosting Run for the Chickens. You can sign up for that at that's running from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Animal Place. For more information, go to animalplace.org. Okay, we have one last bit of business to take care of, and that's the Animal Rights Quote of the Week. Take it away, Danny.
Today's Animal Rights Quote of the Week is from Todd Boyman, co-founder of the Hungry Planet Foods, the company that is making Santa Barbara school campuses more vegan-friendly, who said, "Once people start asking questions, they start educating themselves and find that veganism is better for the planet, it's better for people, it's better for the animals, and it's better for the environment."
So just start asking questions and thinking. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff.
We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, farmed, hunted, raced, experimented upon, and otherwise abused.
Our theme music is Ready to Fall by Vegan